freaking auto!
This is Brock and Saul.
Brock Heward and Marcus. Sorry about just Mike.
On Seattle Sports.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Heward, not exactly Joe Cap there in the pocket.
Now here are your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Saul.
All right, final hour of our show today. Bob Stelton in 30 minutes as Wyman and Bob are in Peoria all this week with the Mariners, and we are jealous, although it's going to be pretty nice here in the next few days. High 50s, 60s, 70s, yes. Maybe even this weekend. No complaints out of this guy, that's for sure. In talking to Bob Condotta, Brock, I'm trying to get to this question, and I don't know how to answer it yet. And I don't know that Bob was ready to answer it yet, nor are you. But Bob did seem to say, because I asked him, what's the big plan? What's the timeline the Seahawks seem to be working under? And he said, look, a lot of the deals they're making are very short term, things they can get out of over the next year or so. What do you read into that?
Value proposition. The same thing you always read into this. The same thing you as a fan always need to read into. The same thing that Richard Sherman just does not, for some reason, seem to grasp, even after all of his years in this league, that it's not about the person. It's not about the player. It is about the value. You just, how valuable are you to our entity? And that's what you've got to try to figure out, how you've got to try to manage this whole salary cap. And, you know, part of the reason these teams have to spend so significantly and give Calvin Ridley $50 million, all because there's a floor. Like, you just can't be cheapskate. Like, there's a floor that you've got to spend to. And, you know, the Seahawks believe big time in rewarding their own, those they know better than from the outside, which I think is wise counsel and has been pretty good in their successful run over all of these years. Like, nobody washes the car like the owner. I love that, you know, when Larry Hill says that to me, and it's totally true. Like, you know this car better than anybody else.
I find it to be very untrue in actual real life.
Are you sure?
I mean, if I were to wash my car versus if I were to bring it to a professional car washer.
Oh, literally. Oh, yeah. I got you.
Like, literally, that's untrue.
Yeah, you probably don't have good car washing.
I mean, I could wash my car. I've washed cars before. I bet I'm not that good at it versus if I were to go to a good car wash. I bet you they do a much better job than
I got
me.
You from the literal there, yes.
But, yeah, that's about letting the experts do it.
But, you know, you just got, like, your house. You know where everything is. Mm-hmm. You know how it really operates. You know where the one room's a little bit cooler than the other room. Like, you just know how it operates. So that, to me, is what, and you know, the umbrella they're working under, which they have for a lot of years, which is, man, this is about value. Mm-hmm. Is it better to get that big Jonah Jackson, that big guard out of, you know, what the Rams got, who I would have liked? Okay, yeah, they probably liked him as a player too. But do they like him at that number more than they like George Fant at this number, at 2 years, $10 million and $5 million a year?
Yeah, all right. So I understand the value proposition stuff.
That's what it feels like right now.
Is it relevant that these have been all short-term deals? Does that tell you kind of what they're looking to build versus not build right now?
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, if you're signing a lot of backup-style players on one-year deals, yes. two-year deals.
Yes.
Are you thinking that this is going to be a little bit of a longer project to get this team to where they want it to be and really in Super Bowl contention? Or are they saying, hey, we actually think we have all the right pieces in place to make a run. We just need to use free agency to add some depth.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I could make you an argument that both of those things are true.
Yep. And I would say to the first, like, hey, man, these are prove it deals. Prove to us that you're a difference maker. Prove to us on this one-year deal that you're a guy. And then, you know, once you're in the building, and whether it is for the final 9 weeks like Leonard Williams or the final year like for Noah Fant when they trained for, you know, those guys, one before the season, one in season, as Bob said, like, hey, we still get a feel like we know you better than we would the outside, and prove it to us. Prove it to us that you are worthy of being rewarded. Yeah, and this organization does reward their own.
It does seem like it's almost a philosophy of saying, hey, we would rather underpay at the beginning and overpay once you're here.
We will give you, yes. I don't think they'd be comfortable saying overpay.
Oh, no, they wouldn't use those words.
They would say, we'll give you top of the market. We will give you what you are worth.
So that's kind of an overpay, right?
Yeah.
I mean, basically what you're saying is, hey, come in, and we might not pay you the most right away, but we're going to go big, and if you're the right person, we're going to take care
of you. Doesn't that match some of their draft philosophy, too?
Yes.
Like, hey, we would rather have a bunch of second, third, and fourths, and, you know, make sure if we can hit on those guys in those rounds. Look at, once again, this is the value proposition, the value play there, the opportunity, rather than just swinging for the fences. And that came in big time, I think, last year with the number five pick. came in big time. Like, we'd rather have Devin Witherspoon that could play corner, he could play nickel, he can rush, he can do all of these things. We'd rather have that and feel better about paying a corner that than we do a little bit of a question mark interior defensive tackle, even if he is dynamic and even if he is a tremendous athlete and even if he is a great player. Just from a value proposition, would rather get more from that than the other.
My hope is that it's one of those two things. My hope is that either the Seahawks are close and they need depth to get themselves over the top, or that they are not that close and they know it and they're willing to kind of wait until they are before going big. And at the moment, they've got to kind of fill out a roster, but they don't want to hurt themselves long term with the cap at all. And so they're kind of waiting. So I'm really good with either of those two scenarios because, again,
you know,
really,
what I want?
I really don't like where they've been the last few years in
that's
between.
That's what I want. That's what I want.
Don't be in between.
I don't want in between, and I want balance. The receiver room was out of balance. It was out of whack. The safety room was out of balance. It was out of whack with Jamal and Quandre and Julian. And, like, that just, to me, got out of whack. And some of, you know, the trade for Jamal. And then you feel like, well, I got to pay him, you know, that amount of money. And those things just, you know, I think what you're looking for is some of that equilibrium. And it's really hard because all the NFL is about is not equilibrium, right? I mean, in some regards, it does want you at 8, 9, 9, and 8. But then, man, it gets really hard to stay in some of that balance because other teams will spend and other teams will reach and other teams will do this and other teams will overdraft and other teams will overspend. And, man, you know, the 32 of them don't act and operate nearly the same way. And you can find desperation, or I got to save my job, or I got to find a way to win this year, right? So I'd like to just see some, and I think you're getting to that. Is there a position group that you look at right now and go, ooh, that feels really out of whack? Maybe still wide receiver.
Maybe still. I mean, that hasn't
Maybe
changed.
Maybe still wide receiver.
So, I mean, they're paying it less.
Yep, they restructured
nice,
Tyler.
Right, and, so that certainly helps the situation there.
Yep.
Wide receiver would be the closest to it. Yeah,
that's
I
about
mean,
it.
Safety's been changed the way it should be, and I love what they've done there.
Yep.
Corner, I mean, you might still have a little extra depth at corner if you want to try to make a move. I mean, I've certainly brought up the DK idea, and a lot of people have said, what about Tariq Woolen? Yeah, I mean, that's another one. If you think you could get that kind of value back for Tariq Woolen, I don't know if you can. I don't think you're getting first-round pick value back for him.
Not after year two tape.
Or second-round pick value. But maybe if there's a team out there desperate and you think you can get a second-round pick for Tariq Woolen, I'm certainly open to a conversation like that. That'd be great.
Yep. And then ultimately, if you do want to make it out of balance, and if you are going to, do it at the line of scrimmage.
Right. Or at the quarterback position.
Or the big, do it the big guys or the guy that you believe is a generational talent.
And I guess I still look at it and say, is the offensive line even in balance yet? No. Is your defensive line in balance? Maybe. I mean, Leonard Williams certainly helps. And
Trey's a big part of that.
Had a good part,
Trey's got to be better in the system
but
than
he
was.
But if he doesn't, then you're not where you need to be. Mm-hmm. So, you know, edge rusher, good, not great, right? I mean, like, hopefully they're going to be better bringing Chenna back next year, and certainly they were better before he got hurt last year.
Yes, they were.
But, you know, none of those other guys have truly shown that they are anywhere close to a
Got to coach them up, got to develop them, got to take those next steps.
That is for sure. So I'd really like to see them either very close or very far, not in the middle. And I think they're taking steps to move in one of those two directions. Bob Stelton in 20 minutes. He's very far from us. He's in Arizona getting ready for their day down there. Bob and Dave are down in the desert all this week, speaking with Mariners players and coaches and managers and GMs, et cetera. So we'll talk to him coming up in 20 after everything you need to know next on Brock and Salk, Seattle Sports on 710.
Brock and Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
Well, the Seahawks have been busy, Brock. They keep bringing guys in. First, it was a couple of backup players, I think you would probably say, with Nick Harris and Farrell Brown. But yesterday, saw them bring in their first starter, safety Rayshon Jenkins. He's been with both Chargers and the Jacksonville Jaguars, and he shows up here on a pretty similar deal to what they gave Julian Love, roughly $12 million over 2 years, so $6 million a year. Not a huge cap hit, not going to break the bank, but by all accounts, pretty solid player.
Yeah, been a good player. And the next level stats guys, as I've said a couple different times this morning on Need to Know, just really, really like the range, really like the coverage ability. And I think that is the one thing, and maybe this is a self-fulfilling prophecy, I don't know. But it's been the hardest thing is just watching these zone defenses. And I've texted you guys. I've texted Paul Moyer. I've texted Dave Wyman. I've texted Bumpus. Like, why can't we play I know you're playing zone coverage, but at some point, zone has to turn into man. You have to know route concepts. You have to get tight to people. You have to collision people. Like, you have to be able to still play the ball and not just have all these gimme completions all the time. Yeah, you've got to be now cerebral to do that. You have to have, you know, adjustability in your scheme, be nimble in your scheme, all these things that I believe Mike McDonald to be. And you got to have players that have some of that background. And a Julian Love and a Rayshon Jenkins, pretty interchangeable guys at the safety level.
Yeah, I think that should be pretty fun to see him. They also signed George Fant yesterday, bring back an old friend. And I did give Brady Henderson a bunch of credit on this. I asked him last week, can you count on Abe Lucas? And he said, well, yeah, but if you do, you better have a very good backup at the safety position, better than what you had last year. And now they do. They bring back George Fant, who obviously had some success here as well.
Did I read that Abe had a little surgery, cleanup on his knee?
He did. Okay. And again, that's great. I no one wants Abe Lucas to be better more than me. Everybody does.
Yes.
Just the fear that Pete used the word chronic. Yep. And if that's the case, you want him, but can you count on him? I think what the Seahawks are saying is, hey, if we do, we better make sure that the guy behind him is pretty good. Brock, you brought up the idea yesterday of the Seahawks maybe trading for Justin Fields if the price is right. Dan Orlovsky thinks, actually, they're the most likely destination.
Number one's the Seattle Seahawks. Number two, the Philadelphia Eagles. Number three, the Indianapolis Colts. Seattle losing Drew Lock and Geno with firmly being their starting quarterback. But Mike McDonald doesn't have any allegiance to Geno. And you just never know, and you want enough good players at that position. And I think Justin's proven more than enough to be worthy of, hey, a sixth or seventh round pick and $2.5 million.
Yeah, it'd be closer to about $3.2 million, but who knows? So what would you rather have? Tyler Huntley on a 1 year, $2.5 million deal, or trade a six for Justin Fields on a 1 year, three? And it doesn't encumber you. You don't have to pick up his fifth year option.
Right.
So what would you rather have? I mean, I'd rather have the guy that
6'2" and pick him
created 43 first downs with his legs last year. I'd rather have the guy that's been burned a little bit. I'd rather have the guy that was a starter.
Significantly better than Huntley's legs?
Yes.
Significantly.
Significantly.
Really?
Yeah, significantly younger and stronger and faster. And yeah, I think I would say significantly more athletic in that way than a Tyler Huntley.
All right.
Yes, I would, Mike.
All right, if you say so.
I mean, one was a top 10 pick.
Is it like me not to believe you?
One was a top 10 pick.
Brock, I always believe you. I don't not believe you.
I mean, one of you's a former NFL quarterback, but one of you's a quarterback aficionado.
And one's an athlete.
I believe you.
One's not.
No one's arguing with you. You're arguing against yourself.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Stop arguing. Mariners win in a blowout yesterday. Mitch Garver with a big hit. Ty France with a nice day.
Yamamoto, run the bell. Here comes his pitch. Swung on, hit hard, past the diving shortstop, Betts into left field. Scoring Polanco right behind him. Here comes Garver. He's going to touch home. Ty France, a two RBI single. The Mariners on the board, and they've taken the lead over the Dodgers. It's 2-0.
That thing's mic'd up real loud.
I figured
that
it out.
Bat.
Remember Blades of Steel?
Yeah. Connect the pass.
And then he like hit, and it sounded like that puck. Just like every time one of these
pass.
Guys.
Connect the pass. Blades of Steel.
Iserman was really good in that game.
Nobody was in that game. There were no
players.
Really? No Iserman.
Oh, that was NHL.
That wasn't until you got
you're
to
right.
NHL.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, 92, 94, whatever. But no, connect the pass. Nice game for the Mariners. As I said, only blemish. Andres Munoz gave up a run in his one inning of work, but a nice day for Spire and Sacedo. So both lefties
look
pretty
good. And then the young kids got it going late.
They sure did. Mm. I played this highlight a few times. I won't play it again. But Laz Montez with a two-run triple, scoring both Colt Emerson and Ty Pete. That's kind of fun. That's a little glimpse into your future, some of the nice kids that you've got in your organization. And then probably the best Mariner news of the day, because we were a little concerned when we left the show, right? Brian mm-hmm. Wu was supposed to start yesterday. He did not. And Shannon reported soon afterwards, don't worry about it. Just push back a day. So he should get going today. And the fact that he's not shut down and just pushed back a day, phew, because that's one of those things that I know everyone's going to be holding their breath for. Hoping that nothing bad happens to either of these young pitchers. Big trade in baseball yesterday. Padres acquired Dylan Cease for a bunch of prospects. All of a sudden, their offseason is looking a whole lot better than it did earlier.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
An emotional goodbye for Mike Hopkins yesterday. His Huskies lose by 6 in the first round of the Pac-12 tournament. Afterwards, he spoke to it.
Places are just places. Great people make great places. We have great people. and the program, the athletic program that Jen Cohen helped build, the culture, the coaches all backing each other. Really, really special to be a part of that. She gave me a chance. Wish I had some more wins and losses, or more wins, less losses. But I'm really proud of getting through COVID, getting kids, helping kids graduate, making a difference in their lives. That's what it's really about in college athletics. I'm emotional. Didn't want to cry, but this is who I am.
There are certain coaches who say stuff like that, mm-hmm. and I roll my eyes. Mm-hmm. He's not one of them. I do really believe that with
genuine,
him.
Genuine, just a genuine dude.
Yeah.
And just another in a line that, man, to go from being an assistant to being the general is hard. Mm-hmm. Lieutenant, pouring into people, recruiting, developing, man, you're really, really good at that. But then can you be the general? And maybe there's a discourse or conversation about that over time. We're going to be watching a head coach here with the Seahawks. Yep. It's going to go from a lieutenant, been an amazing lieutenant at multiple levels. Everything tells you he is ready for this job. But to be the general, actually leading the entirety of that yep. group, hard to do, man.
No, we have that problem in my house, right? Gertie's lieutenant likes to bite.
Yep.
I'm general knowledge. Like, that's how it goes.
Yep.
Cecily is a pain in the ass. So anyway, those are just some of the...
Everything you need to know. That's
what you need to know. Cougs play tonight, 6 p.m. They will take on Stanford in the first second round.
You know when Hop was in trouble, though? When all of a sudden you go from like, this is my identity. This is what I do. I'm a zone guy.
Yep.
I want three guys. Remember him? He'd come on our show and those three guys on the back end of that zone, I want from, you know, sideline to sideline yep. with that kind of length. And all of a sudden you're like, well, where'd that go? Now, what do we do? Are you developing? Are you bringing kids in? Are we NIL? Like, you just start to spin your head a little bit like Jack Sorensic, right? Great scout. When there's so much of this conversation, like you're so good at those things. Then when you get to the big seat, whether it's ego, whether it's leadership, I mean, there's so many different variables.
It's so hard knowing when to compromise so that you're not too rigid, but yep. also knowing when you need to hold true to your principles and what's important to you. It is such a challenge.
And managing people and leading people and treating people well and not demeaning people and not whining and just all the things that become very difficult.
Are those things important in a coach?
Very difficult.
All right. Coming up next, Bob Stelton is at Mariner Spring Training this week with Dave Wyman, and we're going to get him to tell us what he's seeing. Plus, I've got to ask him about Ryan Stanek. I'm fascinated by this. Now, I need Bob's opinion, the whole deal. We'll do it next. Brock and Salk, Seattle Sports on 710.
You're listening to Brock and Salk.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
Jealousy's going to rear its ugly head once again. Yup, super jealous of Bob and Dave who were down there this week. We've been playing you some of the stuff that they've, interviews they've had with Scott and, yesterday with Cal and Ryan Stanek. And I got to ask Bob about that. Bob Stelton joining us now. Bob, thanks for waking up and taking a few minutes with us. Good morning, sir.
Good God, what time is it, man? What time is it? I don't see this time of day. This is weird.
I know. It's got to be rough for you.
How about the sunlight at this time of day? You all right with that?
Brock may or may not have suggested that you were a vampire the other day, that you sleep upside down.
A vampire?
Yeah.
Why would you say that,
why?
Brock?
Well, why?
Up all night, never see the sun. I mean, I think that's part of it. Yeah. Yeah. Also, you're not aging.
My schedule's changed here. My schedule's changed a bit out here. So, I'm getting used to getting
but
up.
But it's worth it, right?
Like normal time.
Like in this building, Bob, let's be honest. Like in this building, I mean, Justin's a former ball player himself. He loves it. C-Raj played in college. He loves it. But in this building, there is nobody that loves this week more than you and Salk. Like you're also very much in your happy place, even if you have to get up early, right?
Yeah, I'd say you nailed that. I think Salk and I are simpatico. You get down here and the mood changes. It's just joy. It's just anticipation. Mm-hmm. You're feeling good. You're feeling optimistic. Everything's intriguing. Everything's interesting. You want to watch every little aspect of what they're working on. And yeah, I absolutely love this.
I mean, you can speak for yourself. I'm pretty happy and optimistic all the time. I don't know about you.
you are.
Sort of how I describe myself. I don't know why you would go there and put us in the same boat.
That's how I describe you as well,
good.
Mike.
Thank you, Bob. That's nice. I got to ask you about Ryan Stanek. So, you of all people, because
I
know how much you hate the Astros. I know how personal it is, right? The Astros are the enemy and what they did. And he's not just any Astro. I mean, he shows up here. You hate him. He shows up here with the hair and all of it. And then we heard your interview with him. And he doesn't sound necessarily like I thought he was going to sound.
It's fun. It's loose. And I think that's
are you sure that's not just Lefko? Like, that's Ryan Stanek? That's what he sounds like?
What, you think Lefko's that fun?
No, I think they have similar voices. Like, I was expecting, like, you know, a guy I said to Justin earlier from the Blue Collar Comedy Tour, and instead I get, like, you know,
12-year-old
Sam Haggerty or Dylan Moore.
He was so cool. I was so pleasantly surprised, to say the very least, because I kind of had that vision of him. I had that view. I had a little angst. I was like, how am I going to talk to this guy? I've been bashing his team day in, day out. I can't stand the uniform. I can't stand anybody that wears it. I hate their fans. Everything about them stinks. And here he is. And this is a guy that I definitely rooted against when I watched him on the Hill. And then he opens his mouth and you're going, he's a good dude. What a nice guy. You're going, this guy. And I'm going, you're not the way you look at all. You're very thoughtful in your answers. I mean, you'd see him pause. You'd ask him a question, and he'd be looking at you, and he'd kind of just put his head down and think. And he was just very conscientious, very considerate, and just very thoughtful with his answers. And I'm like, okay, this is cool. He's wearing a Mariner uniform. I can accept him now. Yep. And we talked a bit about the perception of the Astros and, you know, how people would give him grief, and he kept bringing it up. I wasn't there when that happened. I got there in 21. That wasn't, you know, part of me. He gets it. It was the uniform and everything. But, yeah, I think Mariner fans are going to love this guy. He is a really, really good dude, and he's really excited to be here, and they desperately need him.
One of the other areas you and Salk very much aligned, and Justin as well, music aficionados. I mean, y'all love.
That's right.
I mean, and you were a rock star. I mean, you were on that stage. So I am curious, Bob, because we're so blown away by the voice. Like, we played that cut, and we're like, what? Hold on a second. Did he cut his hair? Right? Did he get young? Just not what we thought he'd sound like. So who is the rock star, Bob, that you've been around, that you've seen, that got on stage with a size or a presence or a look, and then whose voice just blew you away? We're like, what? How is that coming out of that?
Who? That's a good question. The rock star I've seen that their voice just blew me away.
Yeah, compared to their body.
And it just didn't fit. Like this.
I think that's an easy answer.
Oh,
Well, if you're just talking about stature, it'd be Ronnie James Dio.
Absolutely, yeah.
He was about 4'3",
yep.
and he had the voice of a mountain king. Yes. I mean, it just sounded guttural. It was huge. It was bellowing. It was an amazing voice, and he was a miniature. He was a trial size human being.
Yeah. Unfortunately, when I saw him, he was sort of at the end, and he was sort of like pointing to the crowd, like, you know, Neil Diamond. Like, it was things had gone. It had been a while for Ronnie James Dio. All right.
Well, come on, man. He had cancer at the end.
No, this was before that. I should say it was before that. This is like 2003, okay. 2002, somewhere in that range.
Did you just say trial size human being? I think I'm going to have to add that to my repertoire. Yeah. I mean, I'm the body shamer. I'm the body evaluator, but even myself. I've not used trial size human. Kind of like that one.
Who's impressed you out on the field?
A couple of guys have. You know what? The guy I was nervous about last year, and I think maybe you and I even talked about this, Mike, was watching Canzone in the outfield. Mm-hmm. And there were a couple of moments, and I know it was really brief last year. He didn't play a ton, but he took some routes on balls. Yep. I was like, all right, that didn't look comfortable. That didn't look natural. And it made me feel a little squirrely, especially having Teo, the butcher, over in right field. That was bad. And he made, in the game the other day, he came in on a ball. He read it off the bat, immediately came in, diving catch. And then he went back on a ball up against the fence, took a great route on it. Wind is swirling out there, had a beat on it the whole time. So that, I know it's one game, it's two plays, but it made me feel better. He just looked like he was certain. There was a certainty to his path, and he looked like, I got this. And then, you know, as far as hitting goes, Polanco looks good. I'm excited to see Polanco, to see that switch hitter there hitting in the third spot, I think is great. Ty France has looked great. I mean, physically, he looks completely different. You guys saw that. Haven't seen a ton from Julio yet. He hasn't played a whole bunch. But it just feels like watching Garver, watching Canzone, as we talked about, JP, this lineup is longer. And the big caveat is health. If they can stay healthy, this is a decidedly deeper lineup than they entered the season with last year.
Well, the one area of all the similarity between you and Salky, the one area where finally...
You're going to make Bob uncomfortable. I suggest stopping this line of conversation.
I'm going to put him back in my side.
When did we become so much alike?
I know.
I'm going to put him back in my part of the barn. Come over here where you and I were aligned with a lot of frustration last year, Bob, where you're like, okay, if you're going to talk about World Series and you're going to write that on a whiteboard and you're going to say that's the expectation and you don't meet it, you and I think equally had kind of a lot of frustration with that. I got the sense, and it was a couple weeks ago when we were down there, man, it was quiet. You didn't hear that noise. You didn't hear really anybody. And I know Scott jumped on with you guys a couple days ago and talked about the American League West, and some others have. But does it feel like some of that just outside noise has been tempered a little bit as you've been around it this week?
It really does. And the one thing that has struck me just in talking to anybody in that building, whether it's in an interview or just chatting with them, is that there seems to be a really big sense of unity here. Like, everybody's kind of on the same page, and it doesn't feel like it's a written script that they're all following. There's just a kind of a quiet confidence. Like, no, I like our team. I like what we've got here. And again, I keep hammering this, but health is the biggest caveat, because the guys they brought all over have a, you know, injury history. So that's, you got to consider it. But if they're healthy, This is a better team. It just is. I know some Mariner fans don't want to hear that. It's true. They're a better team. They're put together much better than last offseason. And every player you talk to, every coach, senses the same thing. They say the same thing. They like the guys that came over. They like the attitude that's there. Everybody is incredibly hungry, and they feel like they've got something to prove. And I think they want to do everything they can to wash that taste out of their mouth from last season. And they all seem to be on the same exact page, singing the same song.
Hmm. So you would say right now, because you guys were down there last year as well, you would say right now, as we're in the middle of March, you would say this 2024 team is better equipped to win than the 2023 team was?
100%.
Huh.
100%. Yeah, I think there's a lot less swing and miss. I think there are players that are in a better part of their career. I mean, let's be honest about where A.J. Pollock was and Tommy La Stella. And Colton Wong coming off a terrible defensive season in Milwaukee, and Cooper Hummel. I mean, those were your answers coming off of a playoff run. That was a disaster. None of those guys were even on the roster at the end of the season. They didn't make it through the whole season.
But did we feel that way? Did you feel that way? If I pulled Bob Stelton tape from last March this time, right, just a couple weeks before the start, and I'm not trying to hold you to this. I'm just trying to think back to it. Were you as equally concerned then about Colton and AJ and those moves, or was it only in kind of retrospect looking at, man, the disaster that it
became? No. 100% I was that way, and I was getting drilled for it because people were telling me I didn't know what I was talking about, and AJ Pollock murders lefties, and you just wait. You're going to eat your words. Why are you so negative? Blah, blah. And then, you know, that's not anything I wanted to be right about. I wanted all of those people to be right. And I go, you know what? I was way too pessimistic. You were all right. Colton Wong is great. AJ Pollock is crushing lefties. I totally missed it. But I was really, really disappointed with our offseason last year outside of Teo. Mm-hmm. I loved the move at the time. I was excited about that. Everything else, I was like, this stinks.
Mm-hmm. What would make this team exceed those expectations, even your high expectations? What could they do? What player? How do they do it? Essentially, how could they exceed your expectations?
In terms of putting the team together?
No. In terms of on the field this year, like, if a couple players were better than expected, like, are there a few guys in your mind where, like, hey, if this happens, then it goes from good to great, or something like that?
Yeah, if third base is still my big concern. If somehow that platoon works with Urias and Rojas, that would improve in a big way, because that's a spot you expect production out of. Mm-hmm. You expect production out of that spot. Neither one of those guys you look at and say, oh yeah, production. I mean, Rojas, his career high is 11 home runs. He's more of a slap hitter. And I've got questions about both of their defense, and Urias with his arm. We'll see. He did. I will say this. He did have to come in on a ball, soft hit, ball on the infield, came charging in, threw the ball off balance. He got it to first. I was excited to see that, but if they can
he
get
got it to first, by the way, is not like a ringing endorsement. And the ball made it.
Well, if you watch some of the other videos, it didn't always make it.
He looked like he was shot putting the ball when he was playing catch, and I was like, I'm not excited about this at all. And then we saw that play in the game, and I'm like, okay, that was better. He doesn't look like Gino. He doesn't look like Kyle Seager. He certainly doesn't look like that. But to answer your question, if they can get production out of that platoon, that goes a long way for me, because that's my biggest concern. I don't love that. I don't love the third base situation as it sits right now. And that's another one, Brock, mark it down. I hope to be wrong, and I will wear it with pride if they go out there and just crush this.
Okay, I got two last final quick questions for you. Are you still a softball aficionado? You still play with those brilliant calves you have and get out there and hit bombs?
Go watch my dad while you're down there.
Our team disbanded. Our company team disbanded. I haven't played in a while.
I mean, there were a lot of contract disputes in the building. I mean, there was a lot of hostility. I totally get that. But you, I mean, would you want to take on a Perry Hill lesson on the wall?
Mm.
Like, if I were to text Perry and say, "Hey, Perry, man, that guy with great calves over there, he looks like he's 30. It's unbelievable. He really would love
like my dad. Yeah, and like my your dad son got and your friend. We
yeah.
down there,
yeah. Would you be of any interest in you for that?"
100%.
Okay,
I would cherish.
It's pretty cool.
It. Okay, absolutely.
That's good.
I would also ask you this: my dad plays in an over 65
stop
softball
it,
game.
Stop it!
Do you have
stop.
Any interest in joining him?
What
didn't you just
jerk.
Make the list there?
Golly, what a jerk!
I keep hearing about this. These comments you make, Salk, is the listeners. They tell me these things.
Yeah.
I said, Salk would never say that.
No,
he wouldn't do that.
No,
he would not.
I mean, I said that's your face.
He would not.
No.
Okay,
no, I will say,
Bob. I don't know if they told you, but he was absolutely obsessed with your new work photo.
Have you seen that photo of you, Bob?
You're so handsome. So handsome.
You look like the youngest person on our
yes,
staff.
He is. He's age of Adeline. He's reverse. Yes, he's reversing the curse. Yes, it's amazing.
What can I tell you, Salk? Yeah. It's good living.
It's good living.
I don't know.
The fact that this is the first time you've seen 9:30 in 2 years.
It's good living. Which leads me to my last question. All right, I'm going to try to set it up this way in a weird way. Last question is, Dave already told us his favorite is Logan. I mean, he did that early in the week. He jumped on that. If you could invite one Mariner back to the house, hang out, I don't know, Justin's buddy brought some good whiskey over, maybe just have some barbecue, like just one Mariner to hang in that living room and just hang out
drink
for a bit.
Drink a little ayahuasca with Aaron Rodgers,
yep.
Maybe.
Who would be the one Mariner on this roster that you'd want to kick it with you and Dave?
And maybe Mitch Haniger. Mitch Haniger.
He doesn't eat dessert. He's a very, very simple man. That would be your guy?
Wait, what did you say?
He won't eat dessert. Remember, we asked Mitch.
He's a simple kind.
He's a very like by the book intense dude. I just imagine him and Bob at the kitchen table staring daggers into each other's eyes.
I love Mitch. I love his approach to health, and he's a massive MMA fan. I was already in the clubhouse talking to him. We were going back and forth about fights that we watched and all that.
That's
so he and I are going to have an MMA interview at some point this
awesome.
Season.
That's
all we talk about.
He's a good dude. I'm with you on that. Mitch is a very good dude.
Bobby, you give great guests.
Yes, you are. Always a fantastic guest. And I'm
great
sorry.
Guests.
I didn't mean to, rub all of my chest hair and stuff into the bed you're sleeping in and not touch the sheets afterwards.
No, I took Maura's bed. That was a priority.
I went in there after Maura just to make sure that a little of the hair was left for you. So
stop.
Try not to think about that.
Stop.
You're falling asleep tonight.
Thank you, Bobby.
And we'll see you in a little bit. Thanks,
Thanks
Bob.
Guys.
There you go. There's,
see you
there's
guys.
Bob. And they got another show from the desert coming up today
great
at
guest.
2 o'clock. Bob's always been a great guest.
Great guest.
I know. He's a phenomenal guest. You know what time it is?
And host.
And time for a little ranking.
Looking for a hard-hitting ranking of some of the best athletes, teams, games, coaches, and moments of all time? Because we are, after all, a sports station? Not what we do in this segment, but if you're looking for an extremely long list of songs, movie quotes, and dad jokes that Justin and Salk have no idea why they came up with and can't remember if they may have already done this before because most of them all blend together, then you're in the right place.
Perfect.
This is Catalog on Brock and Salk.
Yep, welcome to Catalog.
That's fine.
Welcome to List. Welcome to Ranked.
Well, seemed appropriate for this gigantic
for
list you put together.
It's a big
today.
Category.
Let's get to it.
With the word the other day that Justin was on an email of all people named Justin,
yeah,
like 380 of them.
380 Justins on an email. If one of the guys has now started the Discord channel and we're all chatting in the Discord channel
awesome.
Now.
You guys are going to get together.
It's awesome.
Justin Fest 2025. We are ranking Justs. Justs rank, Brock, like Aerosmith. We'll just push play. Maybe they're eventually going to play that concert that I spent all that money on. Kind of like either my money back or them to play the show.
Just push play. I thought that was a good song. It's a good
it
album.
Is a good song, yeah. The new Mayor of Truckville commercial. Wow, That's a Righteous Brothers song, Just Once in My Life, recorded in a
garbage
actual,
can.
Yeah, I was going to say in a whirlpool somewhere.
This is Just's,
yeah,
right?
Just.
Like Justin.
Yeah,
no,
but Just.
That's a different cast.
That's different.
Just. Too many. I just want to
celebrate. Like Rare Earth.
I just want to celebrate. It's appropriate for Bob.
Yeah.
Just good living.
Yep, just good living.
I love Bob. I love that guy. Just a character. Cindy.
Yep. I know you love Cindy in the
she's also a
documentary.
She's also a trial size human being.
Trial size.
Trial size.
I'm trying to work that into the repertoire early.
This one, let's see.
Well, I'm just a girl.
Yeah, I think everybody my age had a big crush on Gwen Stefani.
Of course. I was supposed to see them with 311. Of course, 311 Day was Maura's birthday. Yeah, so this is on Maura's birthday years ago. I was supposed to see 311 with No Doubt, and Gwen was sick.
I saw 311 at Red Rocks with Pepper.
I saw 311 at the Soto, and I saw Gwen Stefani. Oh, no, I saw No Doubt. I didn't see Gwen Stefani. It was just it was the full band.
Wait, they perform without her?
Oh, she has her own solo.
No,
band.
Her without them.
Oh, I was like, wait, what?
Let's not get carried
it's
away.
Not quite that way.
That
doesn't
happen.
Yeah.
There's so much in movies and TV. We got Just Cause with Sean Connery. Do you remember that movie in the 90s?
Seek
and ye shall find.
It's in there.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh, hold on. Let me see if I can find that. Here you go. Sean Connery.
You can't miss it if you can just read the signs.
What signs?
Seek.
Signs.
And ye shall find.
Seek.
And ye shall find.
What signs?
Signs.
Yeah.
What signs?
Just absurd.
Is that Ed Harris, I think?
It's Ed Harris. Young Ed Harris. Point.
Yeah. You got Just Cause. Or I'm sorry, Just Shoot
Just
Me.
Cause,
that
yeah.
was Just Cause. You got Just Shoot Me, David Spade.
It's a long one.
Just Married with Ashton Kutcher. Just Go With It. Just the Ten of Us. Just Like Heaven.
A lot of movies.
Yeah. Just Like That. Just One
Friends,
of the Girls.
The Ryan Reynolds movie's pretty funny.
Just Before Dawn. Just Add Magic. Of course, Nike has Just Do It, Brock. I figured you'd know that
one.
Yeah.
Top five?
Uh-huh. That's not top five. Huh?
Would have been, but there was no sound. So, didn't quite make it. Brock, here's for you.
Just to see you smile.
You know who this
I'll
is?
Do anything
that you want
that
me
to
do.
Want me.
Knew you'd eat that one, Brock.
I that song.
So good.
It's Tim McGraw. That, of course, is 3 Days Grace. That was one of the songs we heard in the desert they were listening to.
It was Justin's brand.
Yeah, that's definitely on Justin's brand for sure.
Just because you guys... Like
we got Depeche Mode. Just Can't Get Enough. Yeah.
One of Bob's favorite bands is in here.
The Carpenters, yes.
Bob's a big Carpenter fan?
Yes.
Loves Karen Carpenter.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Big time.
What?
Huge fan.
Of course, my wife loves this
one. He woke up
one.
Early enough to rank holiday music once, and I think he had a Carpenter's Christmas song.
It was like top five were all Carpenters.
Yeah.
He loves Karen Carpenter.
Really? All right,
just I think they're the same age. All right, just be okay. Just Little Iggy Gaga.
Takes Me Back.
No, that's a good one, isn't it?
Sure.
What do you mean, sure.
Yeah.
That's a big hit.
Mm-hmm. It was a huge hit.
Mm-hmm. I didn't put it in there, but Just What I Need, the Cars, love that.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one. Let's see. What about Do We Have Some Cure? I know this was just outside the top five. I wanted to put this one in, but just couldn't quite get there.
Show me, show me, show me how you do that trick. The one that makes me scream, she said.
Yeah, maybe that is a top five. Gosh,
this happens to you.
It's very hard. I know. All right, you ready for the top five?
Of course.
Yeah.
There's so many. There's so many good ones on this.
As long as Just Can't Get Enough by Black Eyed Peas is in the top five.
It's not in the top five. I don't think we have sound for that, thankfully. This one didn't. We don't have any. This one didn't make the top five either.
Just a kicker, dude.
Yeah. I don't know that everybody knows that SNL bit, but it's one of my favorites.
Just a kicker.
Just
a
kickback.
I love it
much. It's just a kicker. It's just a kickback, dude. All right, number five. It was so good at the Oscars this past week that Ryan, you're in there, man.
Ryan Gosling, yep.
Ryan Gosling.
I love how
Barbie
confused
movie.
Brock looks right
I'm
now.
I'm just Ken. That's number five.
Is that Barbie?
Yeah, it's from the Barbie movie.
Gosh.
Did you see the Barbie movie? What? Did you see the Barbie movie?
No, but Molly and the girls were like, bleh.
Oh, they hated it?
Oh, yeah.
Bleh. Wow.
Oh, my God. This is fantastic. No. It's so good.
All right.
Huh. Number four.
I just called to say I love you.
This one's up your alley, bro.
Oh, so
who was trying to make up?
Lionel.
Lionel.
Richie.
Oh.
He's so sweet.
That's you got it.
He's so nice on American Idol. Have you ever watched American Idol?
No. Absolutely not.
He's got a tender heart. He's kind, as Gus would say.
He's always kind. He pretends like he's too good for American Idol, but he watched The Masked Singer.
I watched it with my kids. Big difference.
Oh, okay, you can watch American Idol with your kids.
I would never let my kids watch crap like that.
Three.
Number three.
You better hurry. I just
died of my arms. Cutting Crew makes the top five all the time.
He's one of those staying power bands.
Yeah. Well, one hit wonders, but yes.
Staying power.
Yeah, tons of staying
power. This is a bite your bottom lip kind of band.
I'm sorry for everybody who's probably in Eastern Washington who's screaming at me that I put it in. Larry the Enticer, who's his big quote, just going to send it.
I didn't put it in there. Who's Thanks. Larry the Enticer?
You got to look up Larry the Enticer.
Is that Larry
Enticer.
A cable guy?
Nope.
Different.
Just look him up.
Okay, number two.
Okay, number two. When my wife and older daughter left town last year and left me and Cecily alone, I played the entirety of this song for Cecily and made her sing the whole thing.
Just the two of us.
Nice. We can make it
if we try. Just the two. This is what, Grover Washington,
you
right?
But
with Bill Withers?
Yes.
He's on that, right?
That's hot.
That's a great song.
Nice. Number one.
Well, Maura, I think you know what it's going to be. You demanded it. You wanted me to make sure that I put it in here.
Give the people what they want.
I would never not give the people what they want. Number one, just...
I support this. But
you say don't care if you were mean with your little opening to categories. Oh, baby, you. It's a great song because even if you can't sing like me, you can sing it because he can't sing either. It's perfect. There you go. That's Just a Friend, Biz Markie. And that's going to do it for ranking today.
Fun.
Very fun.
Fun show.
All right, we'll be back tomorrow.
Fun times.
Friday.
We're going to kind of celebrate St. Patrick's tomorrow, right?
St. Patrick's Day with G. And, of course, Justin's parents are going to be in.
Yep.
So we're looking forward to a full hour with them.
Wait.
Or maybe a couple minutes. We'll see. We got to run. We'll catch you guys tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. Stick around for Bump and Stacy next. The Hey.
Barn.
See everybody. Get to the chopper!